Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a fantastic start to your Saturday.
And if you start your Saturday off with us, you started your Saturday off right.
Right. So I just hope that you have, you know, like we always say, we hope that you have learned something new, that you were able to encourage someone else, and that you were able to just spread love. So I hope that you had a fantastic week. And what did you learn this week, and what did you do to help yourself? And that's one of the things that I learned this week and that I just want to implement, like every single day, work on yourself or work on something that you said that you wanted to accomplish. And this week I started working on the garage. Yes, I mean the mountain of cleaning the garage. So I'm gonna shout out Jamel Dorchel relationship growth services, because he did a seminar and he was talking about just do a little piece at a time, that you don't have to overwhelm yourself with everything, but just a little bit at a time. And if you do that, It'll make sure that everything goes in place. If you want to improve yourself, if you want to be more disciplined, if you want to just grow in your craft or even start working on your dreams, just work on it a little bit at a time. And that way you won't overwhelm yourself. So that's some of the things that I've been working on and that I learned this week, Fee the Busy Bee.
Oh, that's awesome. It sounds great.
Right. So at this time, we're going to have... we're going to be talking, you know, we normally have our Black History Fact of the Day, and we're going to have our Black History Fact about an important event in American history, and we're going to be talking about the Tulsa Race Massacre. And I want you all to listen to this, because this was a blemish on American history. So I just want you all to listen and just think about what our brothers and sisters went through back then.
We generally call it the catastrophe, because we feel like it wasn't a riot. We didn't. We were not the perpetrators. We were the victims. But it took 80 years to get the state of Oklahoma to acknowledge that.
The Tulsa Race Massacre is believed to be one of the worst incidents of racial violence in American history. From May 31st to June 1st in 1921, as many as 300 people were killed, hundreds were injured, and thousands of buildings were destroyed.
On June 1st, they began to systematically destroy neighborhoods, and they had airplanes dropping things down on people's houses, and they had made up their minds to clear the entire area of Black people.
It started after a newspaper reported a Black man tried to sexually assault a white woman. Though it's still uncertain what exactly happened, many did not believe that story. The Oklahoma Historical Society said the most common explanation is Dick Rollins stepped on Sarah Page's foot when he entered the elevator, causing her to scream. A group of armed black men went to the courthouse to offer help protecting Rollins once they heard talks of lynching. A crowd of white men was also on the scene. A shot was fired and the riots began.
My parents were very distressed because here they are with five kids. And the schools had been. I went to Dunbar School, and that was reduced to just rubble. I mean, they blew it up.
Crowds of white rioters went to the Greenwood District, known as Black Wall Street. It was home to an affluent African-American community with banks, hotels, theaters, and new homes.
They took my 8-year-old brother, too, where they were holding all the black men. And we didn't know because we lived on one side of town and they lived on the other. We thought they were locking up the non-blacks too. But it so happened that it didn't occur that way. What they did was to disarm and lock up all black men. And then they said to the mob, there's nothing out there now but women and children. So you can do whatever you want to do. And that was when the real terrible things started to happen.
It ended when the city was placed under martial law and National Guard troops were deployed. But Black Wall Street was devastated. Survivors never received compensation for what they lost.
It's a race massacre. What a terrible stain on American history. And the reason why this is so important is because a lot of people my age did not even realize this had happened until later in life. I was speaking to a friend a few days ago, and he's in his 50s. He said the first time that he had ever heard about this massacre was about 5 or 6 years ago. And then I had to co-sign because I had found out maybe about 15 years ago. It wasn't taught in schools. You know, saying my parents didn't tell me about it. And one of the reasons why they didn't share this information, because they might not have known about it. But I think so many people in power kept this incident or this massacre covered up and wanted to erase it from our history. But on a side note, one of the oldest living survivors from the Tulsa Massacre, she passed away a few days ago, and her name is Viola Fletcher, and I just want to play this audio clip in honor of her.
A Tulsa icon and one of only two remaining survivors of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre passed away at the age of 111. Thanks for joining us. I'm Nathan Thompson.
And I'm Shay Rossi. Fox 23 was there earlier this year when Mother Viola Fletcher celebrated her birthday, and we have a look back at her life of perseverance.
In May of this year, Mother Viola Fletcher celebrated her 111th birthday with a new smile, getting a new set of dentures. In 2023, she released a memoir with help from her grandson, Ike Howard, titled Don't Let Them Bury My Story, the oldest living survivor of the Tulsa Massacre in her own words. She long fought for justice in the form of reparations for survivors and descendants. At the age of 109, she spent that birthday in court with the two other survivors at the time.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Time and the Justice for Greenwood movement.
Our very special guest, Mother Viola Ford Fletcher, who is 109 years old today. She chose to be here. She chose to be here for this hearing. They all chose to be here. She chose on her birthday because what she wants most for her birthday is justice.
The case made it to the Oklahoma Supreme Court, which sided with the city of Tulsa, saying despite grievances being legitimate, they did not fall within the scope of our state's public nuisance statute. A couple of years earlier, in 2021, 100 years since the massacre, she testified before Congress.
I'm here seeking justice, and I'm asking my country to acknowledge what happened in Tulsa in 1921. The night of the massacre, I was awakened by my family. My parents and five siblings were there. I was told we had to leave, and that was it. I will never forget the violence of the white mob when we left our home. I still see black men seeing being shot, black bodies lying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I hear the screams. I have lived through the massacre every day. Our country may forget this history, but I cannot.
Mother Fletcher says when her family was forced to move out of Tulsa, she didn't finish school past the fourth grade, but no doubt she spent her life educating others. Tulsa Mayor Monroe Nichols released a statement about her passing, writing in part, quote, Mother Fletcher carried 111 years of truth, resilience, and grace, and was a reminder of how far we've come and how far we must still go. She never stopped advocating for justice for the survivors and descendants of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. And I hope we all can carry forward her legacy with the courage and conviction she modeled every day of her life.
So at this time, I want you all to give it up for an icon, someone who led the way with resilience and perseverance in spite of what she went through. So at this time, let's give it up for Mother Viola Fletcher.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Hey, hey, it's Fee the Busy Bee, and it's time for the tea. And hey, it's just the holidays. It's a season of giving back. And so we had to talk about the story. In the spirit of giving back this holiday season, Amazon is teaming up with LeBron James and more celebs this year to provide and donate more than 1 million products.
Wow.
These include holiday gift essential items, clothing to families in need around the country. These donations will support the work of Toys for Tots, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, operations through Breaking Through in Kansas City, the Covenant House, the LeBron James Family Foundation, and the Salvation Army, plus the Baby to Baby.
Wow.
So these are going to be great different foundations that are going to work through Amazon to donate great gift essentials to families that are in need. I think that is just so amazing that we're able to, you know, in our lifetime to see these different great things happen and see people like LeBron James to just not be a great person out on the court, but to give and do the things that are needed in his community. Okay, on some other great news, Senator Cory Booker is officially a married man. The senator, 56 years old, wed his real estate investor boo, Alex Lewis, of 30 years old, in two intimate ceremonies, cementing their love for a lifetime. This is so funny, Dr. B, because I was just thinking about Cory Booker probably about a month ago, and I was like, why is he not married? I mean, he's a great catch. Like, yeah. He's educated. He fights for his community. I mean, mm-hmm. he just always have been a person that's kind of brought a integrity to the Congress. And so I was like, why is he not married?
Right. I remember you mentioning that. You know, like I said, about a month or two ago, I remember you saying that. And you see, he married a 38-year-old. So again,
he
didn't get someone his age. He got
all right now, Cory Booker.
20 years younger. So again, younger woman, older man. So
okay, that'll be another thing that we could talk about, another topic,
right?
But during a recent interview with GQ, the rapper turned media mogul explained why he wanted to help bring the docuseries to Netflix. And what I'm talking about is they're doing a docuseries on Sean Diddy Combs, and who's really doing it and producing it is who? 50 Cent. And so this is getting a lot of attention because people are feeling like, okay, is 50 Cent doing this just to kind of down, you know, to kick Sean P. Diddy Combs down while he's down and kind of, you know, make a mockery of him or, you know, there's been so many different things said. But I think, you know, I know I looked at the series.
Right.
And it's pretty good. You know, the series covers the allegations against Sean Diddy Combs, highlighting accounts from former collaborations and people who once worked closely with the Bad Boy founder. And so, I mean, it's very interesting. If you guys ain't got a chance to check it out on Netflix yet, I mean, it's pretty good. Like, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it was it was very detailed
and informative.
Yep, and it wasn't about, it was just about the people who worked from with him perspective, and that's what I liked about it, because they didn't get into all this other stuff. I mean, they touched on it, but it was just mainly their perspective about how they
were treated, what they saw happen around them in different events.
So it just wasn't just the Cassidy thing, it was just the, I guess, the whole ensemble. But it was a pretty good series. I know we binge watched it like three episodes, and I said, I'm tired, I gotta watch it the next couple days.
Because it's four episodes in the series.
It's four episodes, right? Okay. So we got through it, what, last night?
Yeah.
And then we finished
it. And we were able to look at it. But, I mean, it's deep, like, when you think about people and you have to watch how you treat people no matter how much you empower.
Right.
Because I think what I gathered was that they, you know, they just felt, you know, obligation, you know, to do things because of fear.
Okay.
I mean, what do you think by their experiences?
Well, that's, you know, it seemed that way. But like I said, that's everybody's perspective. But like I said, when you get a lot of power, you feel like you can treat people certain types of way. And that's the same thing that I got from it.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, hey, guys, I know you guys are out there shopping and stuff. Remember, let's try to shop at our black businesses and stuff, because we want to make sure our money rotates a lot longer than just a day.
Well, 6 seconds.
6 seconds?
I thought it was a day.
That black money runs, that keeps running through each other's hands.
I think they said 6 minutes.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'd be wrong.
I think it was a day.
Okay, then.
And so
let's
try to keep that longer, and let's shop at our black-owned businesses while we're out there shopping and stuff. And guys, let's remember that what the season is about. And let's also, too, you know, with our kids and families and stuff, you know, as our children get older, let's think about things, other things we can give them besides things. Like, let's think about stocks or different little things like that, that we can help them to grow in their life and help them to really learn more responsibility about how to handle money.
All right.
But that's just my tip on things. But it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm busy out with the tea.
Well, that is awesome, Feed the Busy Bee. Well, you know, this week is championship week. There's a lot of great college games going on. If you are into college football, this is the weekend, especially if your team is in the championship. So that's how it's looking. So a lot of teams are in there. But let me give you the big games that are coming on this week that a lot of people are focused on because of the NCAA playoffs. I know I'm excited. If you can see me, I got my Georgia jersey. I'm pumped up about today. But anyway, Ohio is playing Indiana today. So number one and number two, they're playing each other. So this is going to be a good game right here. But a lot of people are saying that Indiana hadn't played anybody, but they get to showcase what they have on their team. So I'm looking forward to that one. Then Georgia is playing Alabama. I mean, that's going to be a big one right there. I mean, Georgia only loss this year came to Alabama, so I hope my dogs are ready for them.
Oh,
Alabama,
they got it. Come on. The dogs going to do it.
But I really believe that the Bulldogs are going to pull it off. And then with Alabama having three losses, we got to figure out, should they still be in the playoffs when Georgia beat them today? And also, BYU is playing Texas A&M. That's a big game. And also, Duke is playing Virginia. And I believe the winner of this game gets to go into the 12 team playoff. So very interesting. So when you lay your head down tonight, hey, the playoffs will be finalized. So if you're a sports fan, if you're into college football, it is one of the biggest days of the year. So real quick with Political Corner, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, but I'm just going to mention a couple things because it's just so much going on. Well, a couple big things. The Supreme Court agreed Friday to decide if Donald Trump's attempt to end birthright citizenship with an executive order is constitutional, offering the justices an opportunity to revisit what has widely been considered settled by law since the 19th century. This is in the Constitution. So how can an executive order override the Constitution? So that's a huge thing. And also this week, the pipe bomb suspect, the man charged with planting pipe bombs outside the Republican Democratic National Party headquarters,
which was a black
before
man, right?
January 6th Capitol riot, told the FBI that he supported Donald Trump and believed Trump won the 2020 election, according to two people familiar with the interview. Brian Cole Jr., he's 30 years old, was arrested on Thursday at his family's home in a Northern Virginia suburb of Washington, and he was criminally charged. He confessed to the FBI that he planted the bombs near the Capitol on January 5th, according to two sources familiar with Cole's interview, who requested anonymity to speak about the sensitive ongoing investigation. So they found the pipe bomber, and he was an African American, or he allegedly, you know what I mean? Because all, you know, he had proven yet, but allegedly, he confessed it, and now there's a huge investigation going on. But he did say he was an avid Trump supporter. So
yeah, the thing in the air is that he's saying this because he wants Trump later on to get him out. What do you call that when he does that?
Oh, yes, what he signed.
Pardon.
Yeah, pardons, right, because he's signing them. I mean, he pardoned. Well, that's a whole nother story, y'all, because we'll be on that tangent all day long, because he pardoned some drug dealers. I mean, some guys who stole money, crypto. I mean, it's just a lot of things going on. But, again, that's Political Corner. And like I said, we could talk about a lot more things, but today that's all we're hanging out with Political Corner. I mean, because there's so much going on. So on this note, I just wanted to say we're going to have a great show today. The show today is called Psychology Says If You Bring Up These 9 Topics, You Might Have Below Average Social Skills. So that's what we're going to talk about today on our show. So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. Your hand down.
trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas.
Hey, hey, it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397, or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. Come to you. Oh.
Welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you enjoyed the Christmas medley. I mean, we had two of my favorite Christmas songs. I mean, I think about Donny Hathaway, This Christmas. I mean, that's just a classic. And I've heard people try to do it, but they just can't get it right like he did. I mean, that's just a fun song. It puts you in the spirit. I mean, there's another song, too. I'll play that one next week. That's my number one.
As soon as I hear that song, that's number one.
You already in the Christmas spirit, but then Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's hot. Yeah.
This is a hot song, and this song is trending like crazy.
And it's like over, 30 years old, isn't it?
How old is it?
I know it's old. Yeah. Well, think about the Temptations. It's old, too.
It's old, too, so those are classics. And I think I read something a few years back that she still makes millions on this song without even performing it.
Yeah.
All right? Millions just from the internet, I mean, streaming, because people love it. It's a festive, happy song. Mm-hmm. All I Want for Christmas Is You. And Felicia, Be the Busy Bee. That's how I feel about you, baby.
That's how I feel about you, sweetie.
All right. So today's episode, we have a good one today because we're going to be talking about an.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Article that's been going viral on the internet, and it's talking about topics that kind of hurt your social skills. So I'm just going to read the title. I'm not going to paraphrase it. The article is called Psychology Says If You Bring Up These 9 Topics in a Conversation, You Have Below Average Social Skills. Now, don't get offended. Don't get scared. Don't start thinking that you need to go, be quiet in all conversations. This is not about shaming anyone, but it's about awareness. And a lot of people talk themselves out of opportunities, relationships, friendships, and respect simply because they do not know how to show up for simple conversations. So today, we're going to talk about it. We're going to have some real talk about it.
Yeah, that's what it's about. And it's like, these 9 topics are not bad topics, like Dr. B said, and they're not sinful, they're not evil. These issues is all about timing, context, and social awareness. You know, you bring these things up at the wrong moment, you can make people shut down, pull back, or avoid you in the future, right?
Today,
we're going to walk you through each one, why it matters, and how to do it better, because great communication changes everything.
All right.
So let's get into it.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into it. So I'll start off with a topic, and then Feed the Busy Bee, we're going to just play off each other from the article. So the first thing they talked about was oversharing about medical issues. All right. So it's okay to listen when people share. But let's see, when you start talking about your surgery, you start talking about all your infections, bathroom issues or medical procedures in detail at casual events, it kind of rubs people the wrong way. Now, I can see if that's your safe space. That's your best friend, or that's someone you always confide in. But sometimes I know I've been on part of that stick where someone might have to proceed. I didn't even know them that well, but they're giving me all the gory details about their situation. Now, I'm going to be sensitive. I'm going to listen.
Right.
And I'm like, doggone, man, that's oversharing sometimes.
Yeah, and I think what tends to happen is when people ask you how you're doing, in my mind, I'm like, oh, they really want to know. So let me tell them. because I can be the one on that medical end because, you know, I have different situations. And so I totally can relate to this right here about the oversharing, about details, about procedures and events and stuff like that.
And, like you said earlier, it's the context and sometimes the environment. Because if I'm eating some wings or some pizza, I don't want to hear about your surgery where, you know, blood just spilled all out of your...
Right.
Last week, you know what I mean? If we're not talking about that.
Right. I think that's fair.
All right. So that's one.
And we always get the awareness anyway because people start looking funny or they start changing the subject and stuff. You'd be like, oh, okay.
So then too, we got to remember not everybody's emotionally or mentally prepared for these kinds of visuals. Like I said, it's okay to share, but how do you fix that? You know, the article said, share lightly, not graphically. Mm. Or save it for people who actually ask and who you know very well.
I like that.
All right, so that's just the, you know, a fix for that first one.
Yeah, then another one is, guess how much I paid for this?
Okay.
That house cost what? My bonus was huge this year. No, this goes back to that, you know, the money, salary, and price tags. You know, it goes back to, you know, you focusing on yourself and what you're saying.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it goes back also to my bonus was huge this year. No, money talks makes people uncomfortable very fast.
Right. Because sometimes people just like to talk about what they make and what they spent money on.
Yeah.
And again, if you in that environment, guys, remember, like Feed a Busy Bee, she preferenced all of this. If you're in that environment where, hey, y'all talk about that stuff all the time, but if you're just going through to someone who you might not know that well, but you're talking about what you made and what you bought and the price tag of your Gucci purse or your Louis Vuitton purse, I mean, sometimes that could turn people off.
Exactly. And I think, too, the other end of it is, too, what can turn people off, you ask people that. Oh, girl, how much you pay for that?
Yes.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes, you know, even that question on the other end you know, not in context and not very tasteful as far as what you're asking. You know, it creates comparison, insecurities, and sometimes resentment.
Mm.
And you may not even notice it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So a better approach is just to talk about your goals, financial habits, and things you've learned, and not so much a price tag.
I love that. And also with money, research says that money talk makes people more uncomfortable faster than anything.
Really?
And that's something because like you said earlier, because of insecurities and different things that promotes. But let's say if I'm struggling, but if you're talking about this, all this money you spent over here and all that, I might start feeling very insecure about my situation.
Mm.
You know, like you shared earlier. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
Now, another topic.
Now, can I ask you one more thing before we move on?
Yes.
So how do you deal with somebody who's asking you those questions?
Oh, when they want to know how much everything costs, and
when they're being nosy.
I think they're being nosy. And again, you got to understand who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's someone you trust and stuff, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Because I've done that before. Like, I remember someone
Is it a friend or, you know, a close person you talk to a lot? Yeah,
exactly. So I think if someone's asked you that, I might just try to change the subject real quick, especially if you don't want to disclose that information.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I remember someone asked me about a vehicle and they kept pushing, how much you pay for this, how much, you know what I mean? And like, first of all, that's really not none of your business because you're not paying my car note. You know what I mean?
If
you're paying my car note, I can tell you, and I can go ahead and write this Chase loan right to you so you can pay it every month.
Exactly.
You know, but I think that sometimes you have to know boundaries. So, you know,
and sometimes people don't have them, so you have to create them for them.
Right.
Right.
But if I'm asking somebody all about their stuff, they might feel the need to ask me. But I very seldom want to know how much someone paid for something if I like it. You know what I mean? I might say, where did you get that from? Or, you know, did it hurt you? Did it cost a whole lot? I might say, that's it, you know, if I'm in that space where I want to purchase that item or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But sometimes I think people can do that just because they want to know, you know what I mean? And use it to their advantage or disadvantage. So.
And so you just know your own boundaries and you put those in place as you're speaking to that person.
Woo, that's fire right there. Know your own boundaries. Go ahead, Feed a Busy Bee. I got to give you a pound for that one, baby girl. Anyway, so another topic that's saying that, that's off limits or that shows that you have low social skills, unsolicited parenting advice. All right. Parents do not like strangers telling them how to raise their kids. Even family gets on thin ice with this one. You know, putting your your two cents in someone's family matters, especially if they hadn't asked about it. And I know, like she said, family, I think this is big with family. You know, when people go around, because I think sometimes family can judge or friends can judge, or sometimes we think we might can do things better. But one thing I realized with this too, sometimes people impose things on you that they feel guilty about.
That is so true with parenting. That is a huge thing.
So if they know they dropped the ball in a certain area, they might be on you more being critical because you're not doing that. Instead of just them being honest with you and say, hey, man, I dropped the ball with this. My daughter went through this, or my son went through this. I'm just trying to, you know, steer you in a little way. You know what I mean?
But
a lot of times that's looked at in a negative way. But if they ask you, psychology says it triggers defensiveness at times, and sometimes embarrassment, and also times feeling of feeling judged.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, and I want to encourage, I guess, some of the mature people who have kids, their kids might be older, to show other young couples a lot of grace with their kids. Because I think at some point, I think there's a lot of maturity where you can learn. Definitely, young people need to learn from the mature people.
I definitely think so,
I definitely think that, because that's biblical and that just what works. But also on the flip side, don't be so critical because you're in a different space as someone else when they might be in a space where you were 20 years ago with raising their kids or whatever.
Right. You know? Well, you know what the saying is, when God is graciously giving you so much and you've been through so many trials and he's brought you through, it's so very easy to forget. Just like a person that overserves you and gives to you, it's so easy for you to walk away the next week and say, that person didn't do nothing for me. Because guess what? You forgot what they have done.
Right.
And so I think a lot of times in parenting, people forget what they've been through with their child, or how hard it was in different situations.
Especially when they hit that real bump in the road and had you pulling out your hair at night.
Right, and then you've got through it, and then you've become an age and more mature, and you know how to handle it. Then someone starts talking about you, like, what's wrong with them? Well, what's wrong with them is what happened when it happened to you.
Exactly.
But we're so easy to forget. And so I think, I always say this with women, we have to give each other so much grace. I think women are so much more harder on each other. And I think it's just something that is needed, because I think it is triggering for people sometimes when they're in it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think we were going through things with our daughter and we were in it. I think it was really sensitive.
Right.
And so you didn't really want people outside of who you talked to come at you a certain way. You know what I mean? Because it's a very sensitive time. And so I think that we all go through those things, you know, but we have to make sure that we just show each other grace.
Yes, grace works. So what's another way to fix this? You can always, you know, if they ask for advice, give it gently.
Right. And then ask the person. It's like, hey, do you mind me sharing this with you?
Right.
You know, or can I help you with something?
Right.
I think sometimes we think when people say this, I want to talk to people who even say, oh, well, I tell people that. Don't say it to where it's already answered on your end. Like, oh, can I help you? But all in your mind, honey, I'm going to help you. You know what I mean?
You have
to really be sincere about asking them. Because, you know, sometimes people are not in a space for that.
Right.
Or they don't feel as connected to you as you may feel to them.
That's true.
You know, so that's just kind of a way to look at it. So, ask people, hey, can I give you some advice? And then when you do it gently.
Do it gently.
But really
not
ask
critical,
the question.
Not with the critical eye.
Right.
All right. Good stuff.
All right. So, let's see. So, oversharing too soon. Okay, this is one right here. This one gets people in trouble more than they realize, okay? Oversharing your deepest trauma, secrets, heartbreaks, or crisis with people you barely know. It overwhelms them, and it feels like emotional dumping.
Wow.
You know, I had a friend, Amy. Not had a friend. We're still friends. We don't talk as much. But I remember Amy telling me this about friendships one time. And she said, Felicia, you can't share with everybody everything. And I'm like, well, we're all friends.
Right.
She's like, no, because if you're an entrepreneur and that person don't understand entrepreneurship, why are you sharing with them some things about entrepreneurship? They're not going to get it.
Right. They look at you sideways.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
You telling them you might have to work on a Saturday. They looking at you crazy. Like, why you have to work with? But you entrepreneur. I mean, if someone doesn't come in,
you got to go to work.
Who's the next man up?
You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, but going back again to what she's talking about, deep traumas, deep secrets. You need to really know who you're talking to and knowing your audience, even if it's your friend. You know, knowing who to talk to. Now, here's the deal. Me and Braille, we grew up in this God, you know, shadow of the word and saying, hey, we feel like you can take advice from anybody.
Right.
Which I think is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely think that.
In the Bible, God had a donkey speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can learn from anybody. But I think sometimes it is good to talk to people who experienced some things or that you feel a connection with when you're trying to get deep about these certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when you're going through a crisis or you're going through a heartbreak or trauma, it's very, very important you pick the right people to talk to.
That's right.
Because you're so sensitive. And so if that person went and talk to someone else about something that you didn't approve of or whatever, well, let's just call it what it is, they went and gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine how hurt you would be.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just not something we're like, oh, don't be talking and running your mouth. This is something where we're trying to teach you about finding someone safe. You know, it's a book called Safe People, talking to someone that's safe where you feel like it's a great environment for you, where you can really express your heart and your feelings and it won't be like a dumping section, and that person really can be there and be a healthy ear for you and really encourage you.
Okay. Well, sounds good.
So vulnerability is powerful when the relationship is ready for it.
Mm-hmm. I like
and
that.
And it builds, you have, but you have to build trust first.
Right. And I really believe that the relationship has to be ready for it.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't feel.
Back again with Amy, picking those, you know, knowing what relationships
right.
are what for what.
And then too, even, and this is for a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, should I say it? Because I know sometimes the church, we're like, everybody's a Christian, everybody's my friend. And you're sharing all your business with 300 people. And then you got to understand, is that person ready to hear that from you? And also, are you ready to share that with that many people? Because if you're sharing all your stuff with everybody and those relationships hadn't been developed, there might be some repercussions. I hate to say that, you know, some stuff might come back and it might not be good. So what I'm
right.
like we're saying, have relationships that are built on trust. You know, and two, I just want to encourage you, have people that you're not the one always talking about what's going on with you. You know, a relationship should have, it should be a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
They should be sharing and you should be sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I want to say on that one.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, we talked about this a little bit. If you gossip to people,
mm-hmm.
they assume you gossip about them.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's my number one thing. You come to me talking about what Sally did, I'd be looking. First of all, I'm going to correct you and be like, you know what? I don't think you need to be sharing that because of blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm going to tell you. And then in my mind, I'm going to be like, note to self, I'm not going to talk to that person about anything deep or significant because they're going to talk about me as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's psychology 101. It mm-hmm. destroys trust and destroys credibility.
Mm.
And you immediately look messy.
Right.
You know, and how to fix that situation is not have loose lips.
Yep.
First of all, you know what I mean? You know, speak on situations, not people, or say nothing.
Right.
Now, say less.
Yeah. Now, do you think the tendency is for people to want to talk about other people? Do you think that's a natural tendency of human nature?
I think
it just depends on the person.
I think sometimes, you know, and God, you know, I love them, but I can think about a person right in my mind. But it's like sometimes they get stuff and they feel like it's like hot candy. And they got to keep tossing it around like they want it and it's good, but they can't keep it. They got to keep throwing it around.
I've been like that.
You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, this is hot. I can't wait to tell so-and-so.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, you feel like, oh, I'm the always first one. I'm the always, I'm in the category of always first
always
to know.
Always know.
You know what I mean? I'm going to always be the one that knows everything. I know about what's going on with everybody, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get off on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they go around, they run their mouth to people.
Yeah, because you think about gossiping, period. I mean, it's all over the internet. That's what sells. I mean, seriously, because I know there's this divorce, this celebrity divorce going on. And it's caught my ear. And I want to kind of know what's going on. And I'm like, man, let me stop this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because I kind of want to.
But I think it's because we like candy. We've always been a candy fan of Escape. So we're talking about Candy and Tara's divorce.
Right.
But it's like, I think we're just fans of her. So I think, you know, sometimes when you pop up and see something, you're like, oh, let me look at this.
Right.
And I just had to say, I'm not looking at it.
Yeah. Well,
I think people go through things and I pray for the best and for the kids. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, because I don't like negativity.
Yeah. And I want to see them. But then, too, I think because I'm a man, if with that situation, I hate that people jumping on him. So I'm trying to defend him in my mind. So that's it. You know, I don't look at the receipts. I don't know nothing about it. I hadn't hung out with either of these guys. But you know what I mean? Because we had just watched the show with them before all of this came out. So I think that's why it hit me in a different way, because I wouldn't know nothing about them. But we had watched them and
We did the marriage show. We watched the old trip about the ski trip.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's it. All right. So.
Yeah, but that's it. Speak on situations, not people.
I love
say
that.
Nothing.
Say less. Like I said. And also, number six, okay, it says constant bragging. When someone is always bragging about themselves, because nobody likes a walking resume, you know, yeah. where you're just talking about yourself. That's cool if you're on an interview when people want to know who you are, but bragging 24/7 is not a good thing. Bragging about what you have, where you've been, and who you know, and what you've done, it pushes people away. People love confidence, not arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So
how do you fix this? Share wins humbly. You know, occasionally invite others to share their wins too. Don't just be the center of the conversation 24/7.
Right. And mm-hmm. I think we were having church the other night, and I think Glenn said something great. You pointed out mm-hmm. when someone always say I.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. like, okay, who helped you win whatever you won?
Right.
You know, I just want to share about what God has done
right.
in my life.
Mm-hmm. Or even other people.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is what so-and-so helped me.
Right.
For. You know, mm-hmm. so it's not about you and, oh, I know how to do this and I know about relationship. No, Amy had to teach me that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you let people know what's right. behind what it is.
And let
so
them
that's
help
how
you.
That's how you share wins humbly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah, good topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, number seven, dominating every conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like the same thing. We're still trying to focus on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interrupting people when they're talking.
Mm.
You know, they talk over you.
Mm.
Turning every story into a your story. Look at me. That's not a personality trait. That's a poor awareness.
Wow.
You know, that you everything has to be about you.
Yeah.
You know, and over talking. I know for us, it's so funny how I remember being in a meeting and this person can lead the meeting, but then the person starts talking and lead the meeting. He takes over, and he prays. And it's like he wasn't asked to pray. It's not his meeting. Why does he do that? And I was like, oh, because he wants it to be about him.
Mm.
You know, like sometimes you can just sit back and look at and listen and be like, oh.
But people watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my friend said, let's people watch you. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, okay. That's how that is. Oh, okay. That's why. Because it's poor awareness, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are so, I should say, like insecure, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
That it has to be about you, because people forget that pride is just not like, oh, I'm proud I can do anything. Pride mm-hmm. can also is insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The most people we see and we think are so amazing, they're so insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we need to think about. And I think how we fix it is using the 50-50 rule.
Mm.
50% talking and 50% listening.
Right.
And I think listening should be number one. I really think listening should be 80% and talking should be 20%.
Right. I think that's a
honest.
Good point, because even in marriages, because I know this is something I have to find myself when Felicia's talking, just listen. Because it's so I'm so quick to want to defend or just throw something out there, but I just have to learn how to listen. I remember sometimes when I know that I want to talk, I just kind of bite my tongue, not hard, but just kind of keep my teeth on my tongue, you know, so I won't say anything. So I think that's a good point.
A very good point.
Right.
I usually just hold my hand over my mouth.
Yeah.
And that helps me to tell myself to shut up.
Right. So number eight, we're almost down. Winding this list down. This is a great list. Politics and religion in casual spaces.
Woo, that's a big
Two
one.
Two things that divide a room quickly, politics and religion. Now, the topics aren't wrong. The topics aren't sinful at all. But if the environment isn't right, you're setting the whole conversation on fire. You know what I mean? You got to know your audience. You got to know the moment and know when the vibes call for something lighter, because everybody doesn't want to be in a 15 or 30 minute conversation about religion. I mean, I'm just being honest about that. I'm a Christian and has been one for a long time, but if I'm having dinner, sometimes I don't want to talk about that.
Now, that's the difference if this is argumentative. I think that's different.
Right. Yeah, argument, but sometimes even just the conversation, because I know where it can go.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know it's going to be argumentative, so
right.
that's why you don't want to talk
right.
about it.
So,
but if you guys talk about your quiet time and how what
oh,
God
yeah.
did, if you
I
talk about that
saying.
All day.
Right.
But if you feel like someone is doing it to you know, to make you think, oh, I know better than you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's always this question stuff. You
or,
know what
or
I mean?
Sometimes people want to debate. I remember
right.
when I first started trying to get my life right with God, I used to do that. you know, throw out a subject. And then I knew I had studied it and I had ammo for it. And I knew the person that I was asking, they weren't ready for it. So it was, again, pride situation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or even with politics, I'm not going to go to a lot of people who like a different party and start trying to get them engaged in something. You know what I mean? I'm very closed off with who I talk about politics to, except for the show, because I know we have a lot of listeners. I just throw stuff out there.
Right.
But this is my platform. I can do that. But if I'm just going to somewhere and I'm not getting into a general conversation about politics unless I know they believe some of the same things I believe.
Right.
Right.
So just using caution, basically, mm-hmm. what you're saying. Okay,
right.
Number 9, chronic negativity and complaining.
Mm.
This one drains the life out of a room.
Mm-hmm.
When every conversation is a complaint, every topic is something wrong. Psychologists call this emotional contagious. Your energy spreads like wildfire when you're negative.
Mm.
And I think this is a big one right here, guys, because sometimes we just, you know, feel what we feel and we want to express it. I think it goes back to knowing your audience and mm-hmm. who you feel close to. Sometimes those things need to be in closed doors, talking to just certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, complaining, you know, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's really not. I think that you can make someone aware of something, but I think once that person is aware, and you keep going at it or keep dealing with that same situation, it becomes where it becomes naggy and very negative.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think that that's the thing that you have to watch.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, that's hard sometimes
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you want to feel what you feel or whatever. But,
right.
you know, you can't, you know, be a person that comes in and drains the room.
Right.
I always think about how can I come in and give?
Mm-hmm.
Who can I give to,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a positive way? And how can we make this fun and make this where everyone feels involved?
Right.
So that's kind of how I look at things. And so if that can encourage you of anything, you know, just don't be that way. Show up as a person that wants to give positivity.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. And I think a fix to that, if you are struggling with just being critical, you know, vent when needed. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do it all the time, but if you going through
right
something,
people.
Right, vent when needed to the right people. But also talk about joy and gratitude just like you're venting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because talk about how grateful you are and joyful
mm-hmm.
you are. I think that'll balance things out.
It really will, because people start avoiding you because they don't like you or because you exhaust
mm-hmm.
them, you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
they get tired of hearing it. So I think that's just something to think about.
Okay. So what psychology says these topics all have in common. All right. So just talk about a few things that they have in common. They drain emotional energy. So when you're doing these things, it's draining. You're putting out a lot of emotional energy. And also, they can put people on a defensive. I mean, when you're bringing up some of these things, it can put people on a defensive. And also, they break boundaries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can shift the vibe instantly. Like we talked about earlier, just change the vibe of the whole room. It's contagious. Negativity is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're heavy, personal, and polarizing, you know, when we can do these things. And that's what all those things have in common. This
mm-hmm.
is good conversation relies on emotional safety, mutual interest, and balanced sharing.
Mm-hmm.
These topics violate one or more of these elements. This is why psychologists says people who bring them up too often or at the wrong moment may struggle with social awareness.
Mm. So
wow.
I love that. So, you know, in closing, let's talk about just to spend a minute or two, just talk about how to become a more skilled communicator, because, you know, we all go through these things. We've all
right.
overshared. We've all, you know, did these things on the list.
Have been negative.
You know, we've all, you know, been there.
All these things,
so
yeah.
let's talk about a few things that we can do to close out on how we can be a better communicator. All right. First of all, read the room. All right. Read the room. Watch the body language. I mean, know your audience. Like when you're having conversations, know what that person might be into. Like, for instance, I'm talking about the Georgia game today, but if I know someone hates sports, if someone doesn't care, that's not the center of the conversation is the Georgia Bulldogs game, you know, because
right.
that won't really, they won't understand and that won't connect me with them at all.
Right. Ask before sharing about heavy topics.
Mm-hmm.
Can I share something personal with
mm.
you? you know, that ask factor again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Listen attentively.
Right.
Don't just wait for your turn to talk.
Mm.
You know, sometimes when we wait for our turn to talk, we're really not hearing the person. We're just thinking about what we're going to say next.
Mm-hmm. Already have it in the back of our heads.
Exactly. Let's let people finish.
Mm.
Pause before responding.
I love that.
When people are talking.
And also keep casual settings light. You know what I'm saying? If y'all just in a casual environment, you don't have to get deep with that person right then. All right. Now, if you have that kind of relationship where you can go off to a corner, that's different. But if it's a casual setting, keep that light or just tell someone, hey, I might need to call you a little bit later.
Yeah, I think that, you know, check your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you complaining or connecting?
I like that. Complaining or connecting.
You know what I mean? So just think about the energy that you're bringing into a room when you go in there.
And also build rapport before going deep. So if you want to be vulnerable with somebody, make sure that you have a good relationship with that person first. Or you're working on a better relationship with that person. Because when you do this, people feel safe with you. They open up and they enjoy being around you. And the relationship quality skyrockets. So
Wow. That's
just, you know, so Feed a Busy Bee, this was a very interesting article. And I know we put our little spin on it.
I love talking about this,
mm-hmm.
man, because those have been things in my life I've had to work on. So
right.
I really appreciate the things that you shared. Dr. B, he produced this show. So and this show was something that he thought of. And I think it was a great topic that you picked.
Well, Feed a Busy Bee, I appreciate you, honey. But that's the psychology. You know what I mean? That's the psychology. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to close out. But before we close out, we always have the quote of the day. And the quote of the day is, and it's by Rollo May. It says, communication leads to community. That is to understanding, intimacy, and mutual valuing. So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And we are
Busy Out.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.